We began a series last week. We were talking about something that probably I've had more comments on this week than I do about any subject that I've ever spoken on. What we were talking about is that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and what this means, it means that you understand that you have sinned. It means that you recognize that Jesus Christ died for those sins, and that you ask Him for forgiveness, ask Him to come into your life. The moment you do that, you are given 33 different things. In fact, it's interesting. George and I, a number of months ago, I have this pamphlet that says 33 things that happen at the point of salvation. And one of those has to do with going to heaven and being eternally secure when you make that decision. And so what we started with last week is a series entitled Christmas Gifts. And these are great gifts that God has given to us. And so what we talked about is, okay, if we believe we are eternally secure, how do we go about that? How do we know that? And so last week we talked about, well, let's look first of all at the work of God the Father. And what has God the Father done? And so we talked about that incredible subject of election, that God, from His position, looked down the corridor of time. And as He looked down the corridor of time, He predestined. He then called. He then justified. He then glorified. Those are things that happened in my life because I have trusted Jesus Christ. And if you have trusted Him, you are what is called elect. And so you go through this process justifying. He declares me righteous. I'm certainly not righteous. I will be someday in His presence, but I am justified. I am declared righteous. And then the last word was the word glorified. That means I'm going to be with Him and enjoy relationship and fellowship and reward with Him. Now, in this whole process, my point was, does it look like somehow that God would kick people out or they could lose their salvation? It certainly doesn't look like it to me in that whole process because God the Father has done that. Our problem a lot of times is our perspective is on ourselves. Well, what could I do to lose my salvation? And that's not where I started at. I said, wait a minute, what has God said? Then we looked at the work of Jesus Christ. And we were in John chapter 3, Nicodemus. John chapter 4, the woman at the well. John chapter 5, He's talking with a crowd. John chapter 6, He's talking with another crowd. And the essence of what Jesus said was, if you believe in Me, you will have eternal life. You will never perish. You will never die. You will never be cast out. That is the work of Jesus Christ. Does it look like someone who comes to faith in Christ can lose it? Is that what Jesus Christ is saying? I don't think so. Not by what He has done. And then finally we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit. And the key ministry there, or one of the ministries, is a process wherein we are sealed. You are marked with a seal. And it's a guarantee of our inheritance. And that is Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Does it look like from that perspective you could lose something? No. See, our perspective is always what we think. But where I wanted to start this series was not what we think, what God has done, what Jesus Christ has said, and what the Spirit does. You are eternally secure if you've trusted Christ. Well, but that raises some good questions. It really does. And these are legitimate questions when we talk about that. And so what I've decided to do today is today we're going to talk about a gift that is never a problem. A gift that is never a problem. Now, for Christmas, have you ever received a gift that didn't quite work out right? I'm sure you have. Come on, maybe a vacuum cleaner that didn't suck? Or, yeah, I don't know. You know, something like that. It just didn't work out. And in fact, let me share something. This is actually pretty funny. My parents, when they came here, brought me one of these Christmas gifts. It's a little snowman. And the snowman would stand up and he would take his hat off like this and he would take a snowflake and he would twirl it and his hips would do this. And they brought me that gift. And I said, thank you so much, Mom and Dad. That's so special, thinking of me in that way. Well, the problem is, it didn't work right. It was supposed to sing. It was supposed to sing to me, and it never sang. And so that gift was a problem. So I knew my message this week was going to be, you know, a gift that's never a problem. Ruth and I never talked about this. And Ruth ended up taking my favorite little snowman back to the store and traded it in because it didn't work. And that was going to be my opening illustration. I was going to plug the little guy in right here and put him right up here. And last night, Ruth and I, as we were heading somewhere, ended up talking about this. I said, Ruth, that's my opening illustration. What am I going to do? And she said, I'm sure you'll come up with something else. And so, last night, there was this excellent gift that I received. Now, when we talk about a gift that is never a problem, this is a gift I ended up with blah, 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 blah. This is called Wash Away Your Sins Bubble Bath. And this is something that I guess I will cherish the rest of my life. Direction for use. Kneel before the tub, reflect upon wrongdoing, run warm water, pour in enough bubble bath to equal your sins, and then it says double the amount you estimate. Submerge thyself in blessed bubbles, soak, and then arise cleansed from sin and ready to do it again. It's bishop tested, cardinal approved, baptism in a bottle. Now, folks, this is an example of a gift that is a problem because no gift can do that, but because my wife took back my other thing, it doesn't quite work as well. But anyway, there are gifts. Now, I'm going to put this up here so you guys can't look at it because you'll want to see it. And don't anybody take this either. That's a special gift that I'm going to cherish from now on. But when you think about gifts that are a problem that don't kind of work out, and usually it's our problem with them, or something happens. All right, so what I want to do, starting with that premise, is say, we cannot lose our salvation. We can't do it because of what God the Father has done. But what can we lose? What could you lose in your relationship with the Lord? And so what we're going to do is look at a couple of passages today that talk about, well, what do you lose then? If you don't lose your salvation, what can you lose? All right, if you go to your outlines, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you could lose, number one, I'm going to give you all the things, then we'll go through the verses and talk about this. You could lose your fellowship with God. Your fellowship with God. And where we are at is in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 12. And what we need to do is understand where this concept comes from and just talk about this. In 1 John 2:12 it says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. The 1 John is written to believers. It is written to believers. And he is saying in chapter 2, your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Because your sins have been forgiven, go to 1 John 5:13 now. And I want you to say this verse with me because this is one of the, this is just an excellent verse you need to know concerning forgiveness of your sin and eternal security. Let's say it together. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John talks about you can know you have eternal life because you have believed in the name of the Son of God. In other words, all I'm doing here is establishing 1 John's written to believers, they have eternal life. Okay? Let's go on. 1 John 1:3. Just a number of verses I'm going to give you just showing this, and then we'll continue to talk about it. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. Now we're in 1 John chapter 1. So that you may also have what? Fellowship with us. Read this with me. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. This verse talks about one of the key parts of the Christian life is to have fellowship with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. You know Him. You have fellowship with Him. All right, well, what is involved in fellowship? You share your life, don't you? You share your goals, your desires, your heart. You have fellowship. You have communion, if you will, with the Lord. You share your dreams, your desires. All of these things you share with the Lord. Now, how could you maybe step out of fellowship with the Lord? You don't lose your salvation, but could you step out of fellowship with Him? Let me ask you this question. Can a believer sin? Can someone who knows the Lord as their Savior sin? That's really weak. Yeah. Yes. All right. Yes, you can. Yes, I can. Until we go to be with Him, face to face with Him, that point we won't. But until that point on earth, we can sin. Now, what He's talking about here in terms of fellowship probably would not be one sin, but it would just be a continual pattern or habit that you would be involved with in terms of sin with the Lord. It's spoken of as darkness, to walk in darkness. When somebody gets in that pattern or in that habit, they can lose their fellowship with the Lord. 1 John 1:6 encourages us how we should walk. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. Okay? We need to walk the way Jesus walked to be in fellowship with Him. But there are times it should not be, but there are times when believers sin and they are out of fellowship with God. How do we restore that fellowship? I've given you 5 or 6 different verses. Now we go to 1 John 1:9. We all, well, maybe we all don't, but we should know this verse. Because the context here is not for salvation. The context here is fellowship and relationship with the Lord. 1 John 1:9, say it with me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We can lose our fellowship with the Lord when we are involved in continual habitual sin. We do not lose our salvation, but we can lose our fellowship. It's interesting. It was demonstrated to me in this way when I was in seminary. One of the teachers said, "Have you ever been to the islands?" And he was speaking of the Hawaiian Islands. He said, when you go to the islands, typically it'll happen sometime that you will get a flower lei put on you. Sometimes coming off the plane, maybe at the hotel, I don't know. Now those flower leis are very delicate. They can be broken. And in fact, if you play with it too much or hold it or move it too much, it'll break. That could be used as an example of a fellowship relationship with the Lord. Because of our sin and our choices, we can be out of fellowship with Him. Now, if you've been to the islands, many who go there go to a place called the Arizona Memorial. And there they, as you drive around that area, as you're in a boat going around that area, there are some huge ships out there. Have you ever seen a link for the anchor on some of those ships? Those links are just enormous. They're huge, huge links. And it was explained to me that that could be a picture of your eternal security, that you are eternally secure. Now, it breaks down a little bit. That link could be broken. I mean, it'd be a huge amount of force to do it, but it could be. But more, that would be a picture of your eternal security. It's like one of those links on one of those chains. They're just enormous. They're huge. That's a picture of your salvation. You are eternally secure. But the little lei with the flowers, the fellowship aspect of it, can be broken. And you can be out of fellowship with Him. In fact, we'll see a little bit later, there's a verse that does talk about restoring our fellowship to the Lord. So when a believer sins, one of the things you can lose is your fellowship with the Lord, who desires to be with you, desires to be closer to you than anyone else. But you can lose that fellowship with Him. Okay? What else could you lose? You cannot lose your salvation, but you could lose, how about this? Your joy from God. Your joy from God. The passage here that we're going to talk about is Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a psalm written by who? It is written by David. And the story goes something like this. David was being blessed by God. His army was out at war. They were defeating enemies. And what happened is he was at the palace and he noticed a woman a ways away. And he was captivated by her beauty. Her name was Bathsheba. He called her to himself. They committed adultery. She got pregnant. In the process of that, her husband, who was one of David's great warriors, David, to cover up this sin, went after her husband Uriah. There was a battle going on, and what David had told one of his generals to do was to pull back his forces, their forces, except for Uriah, and have him killed. So not only did he commit adultery, he now has committed murder. When he died, Uriah, David then brought Bathsheba into his house. A time later, there was a prophet by the name of Nathan. And he comes in and says, David, I want to tell you a story. And he says, David, there was a farmer with one little lamb. And there was a farmer with many lambs. And the farmer with many lambs came over and took the lamb from the one lamb farmer and took it to himself. And David was incensed. David was angry. He says, who's the man? And Nathan said, you're the man. You're the one that has done this. And David understood his sin. And one thing that is great about the example of David in the Scripture is David repented. He was wrong. He confessed. God renewed his relationship with him. After that event, he wrote Psalm 51. And there are a number of verses here, but by the time you get to verse 12, David is talking about through this whole period of time, he had a relationship with the Lord, but there was no joy. There was no excitement about being with God and walking with God. And so he says in here, verse 12, restore to me the joy of my salvation. He did not say, restore my salvation. He said, restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. David had lost his joy in his walk with the Lord. Also, it says in here, there's some verses here also in Psalm 51 about fellowship too. And if you read that psalm, and you need to do that later, there are verses about fellowship. So David did not lose his salvation, but he lost the joy of his salvation. And that was a tragic thing to him. If you've walked with the Lord and experienced joy with Him, you know when you are walking with Him and there's no joy what this feels like. And one of the things you can lose is your joy from God. There's just no joy in your life as a believer, and one of the reasons might be that you're in sin and continual sin. And you need to confess it and get it right with God. Sometimes you wonder if you could tell a difference between a believer and someone who doesn't know the Lord. There's no joy in either one of them. That's sad. There should be joy in our walk with God. And you might not have that joy because you're involved in sin and you need to confess it. All right. So, you could lose your fellowship. You could lose your joy. Let's see what else. You could lose your reward. Your reward from the Lord. Some very important verses here, and I've talked about this a number of times, but I just believe it's very important. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let's bring this verse up. And I've told you this before. This verse frightens me it startles me because there's some really strong implications here about this. It says this, "For we must all appear." Okay, there are two judgments. The great white throne judgment is for unbelievers, people who have gone through their life and have chosen not to accept Christ. That is called the great white throne judgment. If you're a believer, you do not go to that judgment. As believers, though, we go to what is called the judgment seat of Christ. And it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Then it says that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body. In the body refers to our life here on earth. Whether, and this is what bothers me, whether good or bad, that you could lose reward. This should motivate us to serve God. Knowing one day you will stand before God as a believer should motivate you positively to serve Him, to give it all for Him, to be involved in His work and His ministry. If you're a believer and you are serving the Lord, one day you will be rewarded. All right, well, what does this look like? I mean, how could this happen? What's some other information? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at this verse next week too, verses 14 and 15. Now we're going to have just a little snapshot of what happens? What will take place? It says this, "If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." There's a picture in 1 Corinthians 3 of us as believers evidently having what we have done in the body evaluated, and the picture here is putting a match to it. And the things that we've done maybe with wrong motives, for selfishness, I don't completely understand all of this, how it will be evaluated, but it will be evaluated. And what is wood, hay, and stubble, as the Bible calls it, will be burned up. But the precious stones, the other things that we have done, will last. It motivates us also to serve the Lord and serve Him only. A question here is, when you're asked to do something that you really don't want to do, or something very humbling, like cleaning a restroom maybe, or doing something like that, what's your attitude towards it? Oh, you may do it. You're doing it with a bad attitude, a wrong attitude. I think that's the kind of stuff that'll be burned up. Doesn't matter if you clean the restroom. You just had a bad attitude or a wrong attitude. Maybe that's some idea of what we're talking about here. It's a picture of our evaluation in terms of our works. What will you lose? If it is burned up, he will suffer loss of reward. He himself will be saved. You do not lose your eternal security here. But you can lose your reward. 2 John chapter 8. "Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully." Interesting verse in 2 John verse 8. "Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be fully rewarded." Your heart attitude, your actions. Those kinds of things. It should motivate us to serve God with pure heart and pure motives when we do that. Let me ask you this. How many jewels are in your crown? The Scripture teaches various crowns that are given for faithful service to the Lord. It also pictures or talks about jewels as those things that we do for faithful service to the Lord. And one of the ways you could say is, how many jewels are in your crown? When we talk about this whole issue of eternal rewards, in September, I told you about this little book, and I want to come back to it again. I think this is one of the most helpful little books that talks about this. It's just like The Prayer of Jabez, same author. These are available at Barnes & Noble. They're available any place you can buy books, and they're very inexpensive. And it talks about this whole subject of reward. I can't do it justice. obviously in one service or even in a number of services, but this book will be very helpful. It's called A Life God Rewards. A Life God Rewards. And it's by Bruce Wilkinson. And you'll see him. It's a little blue book. Pick up a copy of this. It won't take you that long to read it, but it will help you understand more fully this whole idea of reward and being rewarded by the Lord and serving Him. Don't put it up yet, Cindy. What's next? What else could you lose? Any thoughts? Could lose your fellowship. Could lose your joy. Could lose your reward. All right. You could lose, not your salvation, but number four, your health and your life. You could lose your health and your life. 1 Corinthians 11 is a passage here that talks about this. 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church was messed up. They had more problems than any church you can imagine. They just had all kinds of problems. And it takes, how many chapters? There's 15 in 1 Corinthians to address them. Then he's got to come back in 2 Corinthians and discuss some other issues about this. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church saying, you know what, when you guys come together to worship God, you don't do it with the right attitude, right heart. And by the way, you're observing the Lord's table, and they observed it with a meal, and some of you are drinking and getting drunk. How awful. Terrible. I mean, can you think of something worse? Well, maybe you could, but that's terrible. And so he has to address this issue. And he speaks to them that you're taking the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. And that there could be consequences for that. And so in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30, in just part A, he makes a really strong statement here. He says this, that is why many among you are weak and sick. And it's because, one part of it is because of the way you're observing the Lord's table. In there are divisions in chapter 18. He talks about divisions within the church. That's a problem. They're unloving, they're unselfish people. They're unloving, selfish people. And that is in verses 20 through 22. And so, he said, because of this kind of continual sin, it can affect your health. You could become sick because of this. It can cause health problems. Then he says something even stronger, doesn't he? In 1 Corinthians 11, 30, verse B, he says this, and a number of you have what? Fallen asleep. Now that doesn't mean that during the message they've fallen asleep in church. No, it doesn't mean that, does it? What does this mean? They have died. Death. Because of this. And again, it would be, I believe, a believer that is in continual, habitual sin, walking away from God in terms of their choices in their life. And they've walked away from Him and they're of no value to the Lord in that sense. And the Lord says, enough, I'm taking you home. They fall asleep. They die. And the Lord does it. Takes them home. That can happen with a believer who is so far out of fellowship with the Lord, has lost the relationship with them, with the Lord. A couple of statements at the bottom. There's a box. Let me say this. Don't treat sin lightly. Whoops, 1 John 5:16. Let's do 1 John 5:16 first of all. All right. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. All right, there is a sin that leads to death. I wanted you to see, other than 1 Corinthians, it talks about this. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. There can be sin that does lead to death. And many feel that maybe this might be the unpardonable sin, which Jesus talks about in the Gospels. And the unpardonable sin in that context was ascribing the miracles of Jesus to the devil. Now, I'm not sure that sin can be committed today. There's a lot of debate about this. I'm not sure that sin can be committed, because I believe Jesus Christ would have to be here. You'd have to do a miracle and that person ascribe it to the devil. I think the unpardonable sin, you know what it is? It's to not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is the unpardonable sin, because then you're separated from Him for all eternity. But there is sin that can lead to death. Wow. All right. Let's wrap this up then. Couple of thoughts on the bottom. Always remember, look at this, don't treat sin lightly. I'm going to hit this really hard next week. Don't treat it lightly. God has given you what I feel is called eternal life, eternal security. But that does not mean you treat sin lightly. Sin has consequences, and we see that as we've talked about some of these things. But the great message here is that God is willing to forgive. And that was the point of 1 John 1:9. In your relationship with Him, He is willing to forgive. Okay, flip over your outline. On the back, I'm going to make four statements to reaffirm what I've said, just said a little differently. Here they are. Here it is. You can lose your fellowship, not your relationship. Let me make that clear. Not your relationship with the Lord, but you can lose your fellowship. Next, you can lose your joy, not Jesus. Not Jesus. You can lose your joy, but not Jesus. You can lose your reward, not your redemption. You can lose reward, your redemption. You are redeemed. You have a relationship with the Lord. You do not lose that, but you can lose your reward. And you can lose your life physically on earth, but you cannot lose eternal life. That's what I'm saying. Okie dokie. All right, next week. Where are we going to go with this? What about if I don't do enough works? What about if I stop believing God? What about if I sin? Okay, good. Those are legitimate questions. What we're going to do next week is talk about those questions in light of what the Scripture says. We'll discuss those and see if we can come to some conclusions as we understand better what God's gifts for you are and for me. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for our time this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to understand what your word says. Thank you for that gift that can never be taken from us. Lord, as we continue to talk about this subject, pray that you'll just guide and direct. Thank you for the hope and the peace that we can have during this time of the year. Not only this time, but every day of the year. Thank you that we can give to you, and we do that now gratefully. In Jesus' name, amen.